Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, is joining us. And our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy & Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Dave, we've been celebrating yesterday's win all morning against the Commanders 34-27. What was the energy like in that locker room when you got to head back and talk to some of the guys?
Yeah, I thought it was, Allie, it was really good. Obviously, tough week a week ago. There was a lot of scrutiny, a lot of conversation about what they were or weren't after their performance in Carolina. It was good to be able to get that out of your mouth. I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL. As long as you can keep playing, you can potentially erase that. But you got to it lives with you for a week, and to be able to get that out of there and know that that was not their personality. That was not who they wanted to be as a team. The energy was good. I don't think it was overly exuberant. I do think there was a bit of a prove it type feel in Raheem's voice as he spoke to the team, that just to remind them, this is who you're supposed to be. That's not who you were last weekend. You know, remember that. I thought that a lot of guys that I talked to post game continued that conversation about, hey, you know, this is a good spot, but it's not where we want to be. We're building off of this. It's a long season. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it, but I do think that there was some good feelings in there that they had washed that really bad taste out of their mouth in Carolina.
Arch, what did you see from Penix yesterday in the bounce back game? Why did he look so special yesterday, after coming off his worst game as a pro?
Well, whenever you get challenged, Bo, I think in any walk of life, I think if you get challenged a little bit, if you got any pride about you or there's any professionalism about you, that you're going to step to the plate. I mean, if you got some salt in you, you're going to step up. And we know that Penix is one of those kind of guys that is a self-motivator. He's not a guy that necessarily feeds off of what other people think. I think that most of us that compete, you have a bar that you establish for yourself. And if you don't reach that bar, the disappointment comes within and you're disappointed yourself. You're not really overly worried about what other people are saying. It's a level that you're expecting yourself to play at. And I felt like he disappointed himself as much as he did maybe more so than his teammates or anybody here in Atlanta. It just wasn't who he wanted to be. So he went back to work with some serious resolve. Raheem talked about that, how they trusted what Michael was saying about himself and how he stepped to the podium and talked about how poorly he'd played, and he realized that and so didn't expect anything different, but it's always nice to see it kind of play out in front of your eyes. But I just thought he did everything he needed to do. He was prepared as far as the game plan goes. He was a guy that had spent a lot of time obviously getting calls, plays called, and getting in and out of the huddle and getting people lined up. But then his distribution of the football was at the highest possible level. He got everybody involved. So I thought that he did what he was supposed to do. He did what he expected himself to do. I think that's the main thing.
Arch, you talked about the game plan just a little bit. I want to talk more about Zach Robinson being on the sideline. And I've kind of gone back and forth on this just a little bit with some people. What are the pros? What are the cons? I think the pro is obviously him being able to look Michael Penix in the face and talk to the wide receivers and talk to everybody else and not through a headset. You were kind of like me, though. We had this conversation. T.J. Yates also being on the sideline, the new wide receiver coach who was the passing game coordinator. I thought that was a little bit surprising that neither one of those guys. I thought for sure that if Zach was going to be on the sideline, TJ would be in the booth, but TJ's right there down the sideline along with him, and instead KJ Black is up in the booth. What did you make of that, that TJ Yates joined Zach Robinson and staying on the sideline?
Yeah, I was surprised, Mike. I thought that, you know, maybe they would exchange because TJ had been on the sideline, so you figure Zach moved down, that TJ might be his eyes upstairs. But no, they trusted Black, they trusted Petrie, some of those guys that are upstairs. I'm not sure who else was upstairs with KJ, but they trusted those guys from a staff standpoint. They worked that out, and I think that they operated at a high level. Zach had spent a lot of time on the sideline when he was in L.A., so he was very comfortable downstairs and being able to see things. I talked to him early in the week when he came out and talked to the press about the transition from being upstairs to downstairs, and I asked him, you know, just he and I were talking, and I asked him about that. He says, I, you know, in all honesty, I see some things that I don't see upstairs too. I got a feel for being down on the sideline. So he was very comfortable with that transition. But yeah, I was a bit surprised too. But obviously, the trust in the staff and the other guys that are on that staff helped him, you know, get to some things or see some things, give him some knowledge as to what Washington was trying to do.
We are joined by former Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. I know today we should enjoy the win, Dave, and we are enjoying it, but how can Raheem keep this momentum consistent through this week and stay ready for when Buffalo comes to town?
Well, it'll be as much as it's up to Raheem, and I know that there's been a lot of conversation about blaming the coordinators and blaming, you know, the players. The players are culpable in this thing too, so and probably even more so than the coaches are. The coaches put a plan together, but they don't get a play. They're not going to go out there and do anything. So as far as your preparation and what you do with this off week as a player, you'll lay some groundwork down as coaches to you know, maybe put together some workout plans and try to keep them as fresh as they can, but then still keep them locked in, as tuned in as they can. And Mike will tell you, I heard Mike talking about it on the post-game show. He played for guys that turned him loose for a week. Smitty let him go home for a week and go do whatever you want to do. And so the one thing the coach has to do is he has to have a pulse of his team. I think Raheem has a pretty good feel for who these guys are. It's a younger team, so maybe you need to keep them around and keep them more engaged as opposed to a veteran team that maybe can flip the switch back and forth sometimes. So obviously you'll have to trust them for that. But ultimately it comes down to the players having an idea of what they need to do to be ready to go next Monday and get ready for that big game against Buffalo.
You know, I want to talk about the defense, Arch, but first I got to ask you about Mr. Robinson, the Matrix, as you've deemed him. He is on,
dude.
He's on a record pace after yesterday. Now he's got 300 yards on the ground over and almost 300 yards receiving. I mean, what is different about him this year? How is he looking so special? I mean, we've always known he's had this, but man, he's the best player in football right now.
Yeah, I don't know how much different he is from last year, Bo, because he had, 2,000 yards total offense and 15 touchdowns. So I think he's, you know, we need to get the touchdown rate going a little bit more for him, but he started to step on that a little bit. I saw him after the game. I went in immediately after the game, and it was like the dude hadn't played. I mean, he was so fresh and smiling and giving everybody hugs. You know how he is. You and I are down there with him a lot. And he's so gratuitous to everybody else. He came in and he hugged everybody in the locker room. All the minority owners were there with Mr. Blank and people that are, you know, putting his equipment in his locker and stuff. The dude is so thankful for everybody. And you know, obviously his faith, he's a faith-based guy and it's big in his life. And so he gives thanks to everything and everyone, certainly his God-given ability. But the dude was just fresh as can be. It looked like he was, you know, putting his pads on to go out and play again. And it was just, I don't know. There's an energy about it. I guess maybe if there's anything different about him, and I don't even know if this is different. It seemed like he was very energetic and ready to roll. But, I mean, the guy touched the ball, 22 times yesterday, and had almost 200 yards of total offense. And we saw him, you know, completely undress some people with moves and starts and stops. And he was as fresh as a daisy when I walked in there. It's amazing where he is. You know, we knock on wood and keep our fingers crossed that, you know, that the Raheem and Coach Petrie and all those guys that are kind of managing his carry load and touch load, we can keep him as fresh as we can possibly keep him, but also give him an opportunity to make the dynamic plays he can make. He's just a phenomenal human being, and you're right. There's nobody better in the league than he is right now.
Arch, before we let you go, I do want to touch on Darnell Mooney. And, you know, we've seen Darnell's ability. I think that he was the perfect, you know, cherry on top of this offense last year, really unlocked some things and let Drake London do what he needed to do. Now, we saw Bijan in the passing game yesterday. We saw Kyle Pitts continues to rise to the occasion. Drake London is going to be Drake London. But I'm just curious about Darnell Mooney and what you've seen the last couple of weeks. He's not crisp. He looks a little bit disengaged. I'll be curious to see what he is coming off the bye week, but what have you seen out of Darnell Mooney and you know, and what might be wrong with him in this passing game?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all of what you just said is accurate. That's certainly what I'm seeing. I don't see the crispness in his routes. The thing that impressed me about Darnell last year was his route running. Everybody talked about his speed, his ability to blow the top off the coverage. He was going to be that deep threat, that guy that was going to stretch things vertically for you. And he did some of that last year, obviously. But I thought his route running was what shocked me. He was an outstanding route runner and understood space. Understood coverage. He was getting into dead areas. You know, he was creating those horizontal and vertical stretches that you need to help London and Pitts and the other guys have those areas to catch their footballs as well. He disengaged is a good way to say it. He seems really out of sorts, and obviously he did not practice all of training camp. Got hurt. What was it? That first day we were out there, he dove for a ball and hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
Don't know how the extent of that. There's some idea that it was much more damaging to him than we know, and that's why he was out as long as he was. But the routes don't seem crisp. He's not catching the football very well. It doesn't seem like he's sudden in his routes and coming in and out of his breaks. So I don't know. It'll be something we talked to Allie, asked that question about what does Raheem need to do? The players need to soul search a little bit. Darnell's going to have to dig in a little bit and go find that guy we saw last year that had just under 1,000 yards receiving. Because Casey Washington's coming. Casey made a big play along the sideline when he came in on a throw that was a little short. He made a nice catch to extend the drive. I think Casey's worked really hard for his opportunity. You may see more of him. So hopefully Darnell can get it going, because he does have that ability to do some stuff. But right now, it's probably going to be on him to check in and say, hey, what do I need to do better than I am right now?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. Dave, do you have a chance to get out of town for the bye week? Are you taking some time for yourself?
I'm going to do some family stuff this week, definitely. Yeah, it's not prepare for a Falcon game and not have to listen to everybody talk about how bad the pistol formation is and what's going on with Michael Penix and all this kind of stuff. I mean, boy, we completely burned the wagon last week, didn't we? Okay, folks. It's okay, folks. Calm down. Calm down. We're okay.
Some people, the sky was falling for some people more than others. So let's just put it that way.
I wonder if we play actioned enough this weekend. I don't know if we play actioned enough. I'll be interested to hear that out, Blazer.
I'm sure you'll get asked on Tuesday afternoon.
Well, Dave.
You guys have a great one.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the week. Thanks for the time, and we will talk soon. That is Dave Archer, former Falcons QB, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Analyst? Thanks, Mike, for leaving me out there.
I was going to let it. She was on a roll. I wasn't going to interrupt.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.